My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are rocking with you until noon. Then D'Lo and KC will take over until 4. And then a quick reminder, speaking of 4, we have a Sweet 16 watch party tonight.
Ooh.
Got plans tonight? Well, no. Well, you do now. 4 o'clock, you're going to head to Bar West, 2724 J Street. That's in Midtown for a Sweet 16 watch party. D'Lo is going to be there. Casey is going to be there. Jesse Tapia is going to be in the building. He will also be there at Bar West, 2724 J Street in Midtown. That is sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just had Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee on, and he said something a little bit unpopular. He mentioned that, and I want to clarify because I've talked to Chris about this before, and so I want to clarify what he meant, and then we can continue talking about it. So
okay.
He mentioned the future of the Sacramento Kings, and over the next couple of years, looking at their team and their roster and figuring out how to maximize the pieces that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned potentially trading Domantas Sabonis. From what I understand, and again, this is in talking to him, that is not this year, that is not next year. He's talking about if they keep running into this same ceiling where they're a first-round exit this year and a first-round exit next year. It's trying to figure out the best ways to improve your team moving forward, and sometimes that means moving your best pieces. So I think that's more what he's talking about, is just a potential like, hey, over the next 2-3 years, maybe this is something that they look at. I don't think it was a matter of like, hey, they need to trade him tomorrow if they want to be good. I don't think it was that.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So this conversation happens like around the media, like on occasion at Golden One Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I stay away from it because number one, it's just not realistic.
Sure.
Like for starters, like the problem that you have with a player like Sabonis is that his salary is going to go up like a tremendous amount here, and
right.
He's going to be paid a ton, and getting value for that contract is going to be
right.
Like equal value. And so like I've heard like sort of the conversation around with some of the other guys, like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, like some murmurs that OKC is going to come after Sabonis hard this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have, you know, some tremendous package that they have to offer, a bunch mm-hmm. of draft picks.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about is the Kings taking like a tremendous step backwards that they're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't like, this isn't a point to reboot. This is a point, it's long overdue. Like, mm-hmm. 18 months overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Get the right players around him.
Sure.
It's not brain surgery. Mm-hmm. Go do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Go do your job. Make a trade. Do whatever you have to do to sure. get the players to put around Domantas Sabonis sure. to maximize him. He is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, inactivity is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting the right players around him is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's not simple. It's just like, hey, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter and 3 first-round picks is going to land me this. We talk about those things, but it takes 2 teams to tango,
mm-hmm.
right? So in my opinion, like, we're years away from a discussion about Domantas Sabonis. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Domantas Sabonis finishes career in Sacramento.
Sure.
I'd actually be surprised if he didn't finish his career in Sacramento.
Sure.
And so that's just, he's one of the top, I'm going to say it, top 10 player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Look at the stats. Look at what he does. Look at the impact that he has. Mm-hmm. Now go get him the long athletic players to go around him mm-hmm. that hide some of his deficiencies, because every player in the league has them. I mean, we're watching Nikola Jokic win MVPs and win NBA championships mm-hmm. at 7'2", like 350 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy is totally out of shape most of the time. And mm-hmm. how do you mitigate that? You bring in Aaron Gordon and you bring in Michael Porter Jr. to mm-hmm. support him.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in a shooting guard who plays defense so he doesn't have inline drives coming at him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. Mm-hmm. It's not brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm of the opinion that would be, it's crazy talk. And I don't care what OKC is coming at you with.
Sure.
Any deal that you're doing with them is letting them move years ahead of you and you take years mm-hmm. steps back. And with that, sure. that means you're a year, maybe 2 years away from, oh, well, De'Aaron Fox is now 27 or 28. Mm-hmm. He's no longer part of the long-term puzzle.
Right.
That's not what this team has done. Mm-hmm. They draft older players so they don't have to wait for older players to develop as much.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in players that fit the same age group. It's pretty simple to me.
Yeah, my big thing about just this summer specifically is, because I think you're right. And honestly, I think if you ask Chris, he would tell you the same thing. Like, the idea that they would move him this summer is, yeah, that's not something that they're yeah. going to do. And I don't think that's what he was saying. But I do wonder, taking Sabonis out of this for a second and looking at this summer, my concern is, you say, hey, go get long athletic players and go do X, Y, and Z. And my question is, with what? I don't know how valuable Harrison Barnes is if it means getting a wing who's better than he is. I don't know how valuable Kevin Huerter is going to be, and we'll have to see with his shoulder, given the struggles he had this season. And again, not to say that no team wants Kevin Huerter, but is he going to get you a player who is demonstrably better or more effective? And then what are your draft picks worth if your floor is now, yeah, hey, 6-7 seed and in the playoffs every year because you have 2 All-NBA guys in Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox? And that to me is where the hard conversations come in. That to me is where, if you're going to say, hey, this team needs to make a massive improvement, that's where you have to put a player like Keegan Murray on the table. If you're going to make, because I don't think they have the assets to go get this player that's going to make them that much better. And again, I know that sounds silly, and I know somebody's like, why would you trade him? He's only, Keegan, here, why would you trade him? He's only 24. He's only 24, and he's getting better and defensively and this and that. Like, okay, if you believe in his ceiling, that's great. But if you're of the mind that you are, James, and you're like, hey, you have to go put better players around Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, I don't know that the Kings have the assets to do that if they are not making a dramatic shift, like putting somebody like Keegan Murray on the table.
Okay, so my answer is, I don't necessarily believe you have to have better players.
Okay.
I believe you have to have different types of players. And I think, I'll make this example, the Kings are a better team today than they were 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And they're a better team today because Keon Ellis is different than Kevin Huerter. And
sure.
It's not because Keon Ellis is a better player than Kevin Huerter, because he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not. He's a better defensive player.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not a better player than Kevin Huerter.
I think he's a better fit.
And that's what the thing. Needed. And so yeah. that's where you have to get to. It's not that you have to go out and get a Kyle Kuzma or you've got to go out and get a Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you have to go get a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You've got to go get a long, athletic, defensive-minded player that, for some reason, the New Orleans Pelicans, like, trip
Churn
and fall
out.
Into every
it's
single
insane,
day.
Dude.
And you can't.
They're like the St. Louis Cardinals with 6'8 pitchers who throw 100.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Or the 85 Cardinals that just had like every stolen base guy in the league.
Yeah.
If you
Shout
are
out to Vince Coleman.
5'7" and weigh 135 pounds, you're in. Like Tom Pernanski, I don't know what you're doing out there in right field. Hit those 32 homers a year, but the rest of us, we run, baby. We're going to put you at the end of the lineup. So, I mean, like, look, I don't understand why this is like the disconnect. And you see one player go into the lineup and it changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Domantas Sabonis is not in foul trouble every game because no one's running at him.
Right.
Because Keon Ellis doesn't allow that.
Right.
And so for me, it's just like, go get the players that fit. Go get the players. You know, it's not Domantas Sabonis' fault that Brandon Ingram and Jonathan Isaac and Kyle Kuzma tear this team up. That has nothing to do with Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with the fact that you didn't address a wide open issue on your team for the last 18 months.
It all circles back to wing play.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
Same problem. And like, look, the fact that you may have stumbled into something great with Keon Ellis, all right, that's fine.
And
now go do it three more times.
Preferably with someone who's taller than 6'5".
That's the deal. Yeah, like, and again, like, I don't think that they're, we have to be patient, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, and I've said this so many times on the show, people forget that the 1998-99 Kings, it was like John Berry, Tony Delk, Vernon Maxwell. Like, you get to the next year, there's Nick Anderson. You forget that it took until, like, year three of that build, year four, when Doug Christie and Mike Bibby step in. Like, the organic way that a team grows is that you see what you lack, and then you go trade pieces, whether they're better players or not, you go trade for pieces that fit better.
Sure.
And that's all I'm asking.
My hope is, as we hit the break here, is that there is a clear, unified vision for that.
Yeah.
And what the coaching staff or Mike Brown or pick your favorite coach thinks they need and what everybody in the front office thinks they need, really hoping that that's all, because that's where things can get messy.
Yep.
So maybe they could just go find a bunch of GG Jacksons or something. Let's go find an 18-year-old who can shoot and play defense.
They grow on trees. The Kings just don't know where that tree is.
It feels like every team, every night, we're like, man, the Kings had a player like that. Like, where'd they get that guy? Oh, undrafted.
Yeah.
Got him from Italy. Like, oh, come on, man. Figure it out. No, I'm with you, man. There is a very specific need. It is extremely specific. It's just about going and finding that player. All right. We're going to talk. It's opening day in Major League Baseball, if you didn't know. Our guy Charlie is going to pop in here next segment because we said something about the A's that really fired him up, and he's going to learn us something. And when Charlie speaks, you listen. So listen next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. And joining us is our boss man, Charlie O. In the building. Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing great. Super happy you're here.
It's fun to be in here.
You came in fired up today.
Yeah.
Usually, so for people who don't know, usually Charlie pulls up and he has like our little notes for things to read for today. In fact, speaking of that, Sweet 16 watch party tonight. Do you hear me doing this?
I do.
Sweet 16 watch party tonight at Bar West, 2724 J Street in Midtown. That starts at 4 o'clock. D'Lo, KC, Jesse going to be in the building down at Bar West. So make sure to get over there, say what's up to the guys, hang out, and watch a little ball that is sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. But typically you come in, you hand us little notes like that. Like, hey, you guys doing great? How are things going? Oh, this funny thing happened and you're out of here. Today you were like, I need to get on air now. So you were fired up about the A's. What do you got?
Yeah, guys, let me talk, just give everybody a little history. I'm not going to bore you other than the fact to say that I have been covering the A's since 1985 as a reporter. I have done things with the A's that people don't know about. I broadcast a game from the Coliseum. I have been there for historical moments that people only dream about. I have roamed the Coliseum in the tombs down there, in the clubhouses, everything else. Steve McCaddy, who was a pitcher for the A's, was my broadcast partner part-time when he was playing independent ball for two seasons. I have a lot of ties to that organization. Not the ownership, but the organization.
Sure.
He's part of the Alfredo Griffin era.
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the situation is this. Anybody who is saying that the people in Sacramento should be ashamed of themselves because they are trying to steal the A's away from Oakland need to shut up. Okay? Plain and simple. Because the situation with the A's in Oakland is dead. It has been dead for a while. It was dead when the commissioner decided that he was going to pull the A's out of Oakland for Las Vegas. Now, is Las Vegas the final destination? That is open to question. It really is, because the financing's not in place. That gets to be a whole business discussion that we're not going to go to right
now. Sure.
But the A's in Oakland is dead, and I'm going to prove that to you. Across the freeway from the Coliseum, next to the Toyota dealer, there used to be, and I'm going to emphasize again, there used to be an In-N-Out Burger.
It's not there anymore.
It closed last Friday night at midnight because the crime and destruction to employees' cars was so bad. And God bless Oakland. And let me tell you, folks, I love the city of Oakland. Lake Merritt, downtown, I got friends that live there, everything else. I love it. But that town has been the ugly stepchild. And I don't know if I'm allowed to use that term anymore, but I'm going to use it anyway.
Okay.
Of the Bay Area for the entire time. Silicon Valley hasn't helped it. San Francisco, when it was its height, didn't help it. And they never economically were able to become a part of the Bay Area riches. They're broke. They're dead broke. They don't have the money to play. And everybody knows it. They can't do anything. That team is gone. So no matter where the A's land, Portland, Vancouver, Nashville, Charlotte, Sacramento, they're going to land someplace. But never, ever again is it going to be Oakland. The other reason why is because Charles Johnson, Larry Bear, and the San Francisco Giants want them gone.
Yep.
So anybody who says, oh, Sacramento's trying to steal the A's, shut up.
The thing for me, and I agree with you, the situation with Sacramento and Seattle is not this. It's not the same deal.
No.
So I can, if you're a Major League Baseball fan and the A's are going to be here and you want to go, like, fine. I just know for me, it's not the team, it's not Sacramento, it's not them. It's just John Fisher.
Yeah.
It's like, that's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to support John Fisher, whether he's in Oakland or Sacramento or Las Vegas or any of the cities you just named.
I'm credentialed with Major League Baseball. I literally can go to any stadium in the country and in Canada.
What a flex.
And be able to go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I have not gone to an Oakland A's baseball game since 2020.
Wow.
And I not only can report on the games, I love the A's. I won't go. John Fisher. That's why.
Would you go if they were in Sacramento?
No.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm not going to be anti-Sacramento. I'm anti-Fisher. Like, that's my deal.
Yeah.
I'm not against Vivek Ranadive being like, yeah, hey, I want to try a major league team here, and this is my chance to open that door. I'm not against that.
And real quickly, and then I'll get out of here. Everybody's talking about this being from now until 28. It's not now until 28.
No chance.
It's now until at least 2030.
Yeah.
Just because, if you remember when they built the Golden 1 Center, one of the things that they were concerned about in trying to get the time frame in is that they were worried about the steel superstructure to put the seats on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were, it was so impacted, they weren't sure that they were going to be able to get that done in time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just going to give you an example, tragic example. But yesterday, or 2 days ago, they had a major bridge go down.
Right.
Okay, that's going to impact steel making all across the country for mm-hmm. the next 5 years. So they haven't even started the plans, let alone the materials build for a stadium in Las Vegas. You've been to Las Vegas recently. What are they doing in Las Vegas? They're building, building, building. They don't have enough construction workers. They don't have enough materials. They don't have everything else. There is no way a stadium is going to be ready in 28. Yeah. 29, maybe, I doubt it, at least until 30. So this is not a three-year deal. It's probably a five-year deal at minimum.
Well, that, and Charlie, I'd add too that the building site that they're talking about, 9 acres, which is exactly the size of what the Kings took over the four city blocks. It's the same exact size. But you're talking about a stadium that is way bigger, where mm-hmm. you go from an 18,000 seat arena to a 30 or 32,000 seat baseball diamond.
Yeah.
You got to remember the field is bigger. Everything is bigger. So where the Kings were able to slide like the Sawyer in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Doco stuff that was already there, there's not none of that space there.
Nope.
None of that, because the stadium itself is like this gigantic, it's almost like the ball that they built there. Like
yeah.
it's like but they
the sphere.
The sphere. Yeah. But the spot that they're going into, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I like the sightlines, everything's gonna be horrible. So like, look, I think it's a gamble by Vivek, but also prove up that Sacramento can be that city.
Sure.
Then you got to find an owner. You mm-hmm. got to find an ownership group. You got to find someone who, we're talking about, like, you need to find $4 or $5 billion to build the stadium, to pay for they wouldn't pay for a relocation if they got the A's, but they would pay if they got an expansion team. You're talking at least $2 or $3 billion. That's
minimum.
Somebody's going to have to do all of that to build the infrastructure. And then you've got to have your minor league teams and all that stuff. Baseball really is a legacy. You have to have a lot of money
yeah.
to own a baseball team.
And on top of all that, you're probably having to do all of everything you just laid out by 2028, 2029, if they expand in 2030.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the earliest Jeff Passan said that they would think about expansion.
Mm. I think so, yeah.
So you'd have to do all that over the next 4 years or so.
You know why Fisher's interested in Sacramento, right?
No.
He's a real estate guy. Uh-huh. He's talking to Vivek, because if Las Vegas fails, he sees West Sacramento as a place where he could get together with Vivek, co-own the team, and build the West Sacramento skyline.
Well, that, and they have a huge, huge swath of land right there.
Yeah.
It's big.
Hmm.
And the Kings
still
own... And
then he can slap an Old Navy in Doco.
Oh, there it is. The Kings also... hey,
beautiful.
The Kings
ring
still,
the bell.
They still own 200 acres in Natomas. They do.
Yeah.
The remnants of the baseball stadium are still out there.
Fascinating.
Wild.
Man.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. All right. That's the Charlie O segment. That was a lot of fun.
There it is.
Can't wait to continue following this John Fisher disaster film that is playing out before us. All right. We got to hit a break. We never got into why last night was so bad for the Kings. You want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we can do that.
Okay.
We can talk about Sabonis right. and his couple
his
of
slump.
Slump.
His slump. He's really struggling lately.
Struggle
down
bus.
Down to 14-14 and 8.5 a game.
Yeah.
All right. Last night was a rough one for the Kings. We'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Manson, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jordan Palmer. Jordan Palmer was the name I was looking for, not Jesse Palmer.
Okay, and Jesse Palmer does...
Yes, he is a bachelor and a college football analyst.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking of Jordan Palmer.
Is that his brother?
Who is on NFL Network, who looks like Tom Pelissero and that group of people. And they all vaguely resemble John Mulaney.
Hmm.
And okay. You've got Andrew Siciliano in there. He's kind of in that mix.
Yeah.
Just all the same dude.
Okay.
And then Field Yates also.
And Jordan Palmer is the younger brother of Carson Palmer.
Oh, then Jordan Palmer's not who I was talking about either.
Huh.
All right, this is going to annoy me now.
Okay. We need to go down.
Tough night. Yeah, NFL. What is this guy's name? James Palmer. James Palmer. That's his name. Well, Jimmy Palms.
Good right. Name. Good name.
If you'd like the context for that, check us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Also, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We're hanging out with you until noon. Hey, Jesse, you want to come in for the handoff today?
Oh?
Yeah, hell yeah. Jesse's going to come in for the handoff.
Oh, yeah?
My man.
All right.
Yeah, no D-Lo, no KC for the handoff. They have other business to attend to, so Jesse's going to pop in and do the handoff with us. They'll hang out with you until 4, and then they're going to be hanging out with you again after 4 because they're going to be down at Bar West for a Sweet 16 watch party. D-Lo, KC, and Jesse will all be down there at Bar West in Midtown. That is sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. And then James and I on Saturday.
That's right.
This Saturday coming up, there will be an Elite 8 watch party with me and James out at Players Sports Pub and Grill. That is at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks, beginning at 3 o'clock. So 3 o'clock, James and I will be out there. Come out, say what's up, hang out with us. And let's watch some college hoops.
And someone said we might bring Insider sweatshirts.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
The exclusive joints?
Yes. There's a possibility of Insider sweatshirts.
Yo.
So.
Yo.
That means that some of you in the chat here, you probably need to roll up.
That's wild. I was under the impression that was like, yeah, internal use. We got a giveaway we're going to use for them, but we're just going to go hand them out.
There might be a possibility.
Those are tough to get.
They are tough to get.
3 o'clock. I'm not even joking. They're very limited run.
You don't even want to know what I said to one of our salespeople out there who who asked if he could have one.
I'm soft. I gave him one.
You did. I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You were
soft.
You gave him one. You felt bad.
I did.
Because I lit I did. Him
you
up.
Dunked on him for no reason.
I dunked on for no reason. I don't know if there's no reason.
Well, okay.
I dunked on him. Fair I mean, enough. Yeah. So
James could have Euro stepped around this guy, but he forearm shivered him and then just elevated. And
I did. I did. I did all of that.
Just dragged it right across. No, never mind. Hang on. Oh, man. Tough night for the Kings last night. The Warriors won. Doesn't really matter for Sacramento.
No.
The Houston Rockets, by the way, won again. Ten in a row for them.
They don't care.
They don't. Did you hear Tari Eason after the game? Here's Rockets.
This is awesome.
Here's Tari Eason, who hasn't played since January. He's out for the season with a leg injury. Here he is after the Rockets' overtime win, 132-126 in Oklahoma City. Super impressive win. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for OKC, but still a very impressive win for the Rockets. Tari Eason was fired up.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play! Yeah!
I love that.
Wow.
This is so fun. Warriors at Rockets April 4th is going to be electric. I can't wait. It also gave us this.
Yeah!
I'm going to be using the heck out of that. Yeah, man. The Rockets are right there. They are a game back of the play-in. And man, shout out to the Rockets. I thought they were done. I thought they had their nice little run at the beginning of the year, and then they would tail off, and they'd Jabari Smith would be out for a couple of weeks with a knee thing, and Jalen Green, by the way, has been awesome. Holy smokes.
He was kind of the guy that they were willing to move on from.
I know.
I mean, the rumor is they offered him and 3 or 4 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges at the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone said no?
His last 5 games, starting March 19th, 42-10-3, 26-4-3, 41-4-4, 27-6-3, and then last night 37-10-7 with 2 steals and a block.
Whoa.
Like, oh my God. And he's doing it efficiently. So his 3-point percent or his 3-point numbers in those games, 7 of 13, 4 of 12, 7 of 11, 4 of 12, 7 of 11.
Mm.
I mean, just consistently.
He's on a heater.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah.
Fascinated to see how that goes. He's averaging almost 20 points a game this season. But yeah, the Rockets, good for them. I thought they were cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've just won 10 in a row and right on the Warriors' heels.
Yeah, they're a game back. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
I love
it.
In Kings news, the Lakers won again. And I know that we had kind of written LA off, at least I had, as being a worry for the Kings, because it was like, man, looking ahead, it's Pelicans, Suns, Mavs, Clippers. There's so many teams right there with Sacramento to worry about. Now the Lakers have won 5 in a row, very quietly, a game and a half back.
Yeah, they're 2 games back in the loss column, and the Kings have them in the tiebreaker.
Have the tiebreaker.
So basically, they have to beat the Kings by 3 games in the final 10, right?
Yeah.
If the Kings go 7-3, and the Lakers would have to go 10-0. I mean, that's tough.
No doubt. But you got to watch.
Yeah.
We're adding the Lakers to the scoreboard watching.
I think it's interesting, Kyle, because we always touch on, we look at the Kings schedule, and then I believe that we all think of the Kings schedule differently than anyone else's schedule.
Why?
Because I don't think anyone fears the Dallas game, the Jazz game, the Dallas game, the Clippers game. The Knicks game, the Boston game, I just count as a loss. The OKC
game.
Yeah, they
win it, great, but.
The Suns. Like, I don't think that's what you fear if you're the Kings, if you're Kings fans, if you're people who cover the team. It's not that. It's a letdown against the Jazz. It's a letdown against the Nets. It's a letdown against the Blazers on the last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
that's what you're always focused on. It's like, okay, they can beat anyone. I mean, what are they? They're 3-1 against Denver.
Yeah.
They're, you know, most teams in the league, most of the teams in the Western Conference playoff chase, they either have the tiebreaker or they're tied. I mean, the only team is what, the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think
who are 4-0, mm-hmm. and then the Clippers, who they're down 2-1 in the playoffs in
they have
the series,
one more time.
And they have one more time. They're tied with the Suns with one more game to go. But most of the teams in the West, you know, they're still up 2-1 on the Thunder.
Yeah, I'm with you. The question is not whether they can win those games. I don't think there's a team left on their schedule. Boston. But that's true of every team in the league, where I'm just chalking up Boston as a loss.
Yeah.
Except for when it's the Hawks without Trae Young.
Yeah.
Wild.
Random.
So random. No, but that's every team in the league. That's not exclusive to the Kings. Every other team there, the fear is not, oh man, the Kings just cannot beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
The fear is, hey, maybe they don't show up that night.
Yeah.
Maybe they get down 25 in the first half and punt. Like that's more the fear than anything. And I think if we went out to Golden One Center tomorrow, and which we'll both be,
which I will do.
But if we did this instead at Golden One Center tomorrow, and hung out outside the arena, and just straw poll on Kings fans, said, hey, are you more concerned that they are losing tonight or to Utah? Like rate your confidence level in those two games.
Mm-hmm.
More people would be like, oh, they're winning tonight for sure. And then losing to Utah.
Yeah.
Which is what you're saying. Like that's the fear with this team.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that fear is there, but I point this out. There are a couple of teams this season where they thump the Kings and then you expect the Kings to bounce back
mm-hmm.
against that same team. And the Kings don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that fear with the Dallas. Just,
yeah,
they're enough different than they were before.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Here's my deal. Like Dallas is playing really well. Like let's not get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kings had done what Dallas is doing, we would be like, holy smokes, look at them go. So I want to give them that respect. Dallas is not 36 points better than Sacramento.
No.
That is just not. Dallas could definitely win tomorrow. I'm done trying to have a feel for the Kings. I'm done.
I don't have a feel for this team at all.
I'm done. Because the other night, Tuesday night, I was like, they're winning tonight for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel great about tonight. Friday, TBD. But I'm just, I'm done guessing. I'm done going with the vibes. Because okay. I can't tell you. And I think that's the unknown is way scarier than what their schedule looks like.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know how to place this team. I don't know.
I've got nothing. To do.
Again, and I'm a guy who usually has a good feel, a good vibe for the team.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And I would like to tell you that, you know, like, oh, I'm super confident here or super confident there. No, there's nothing I can tell you. Like, I just don't know.
Like, it felt like, hey, after they lose a game like they did Tuesday, they'll bounce back and play really well on Friday. I just can't.
Okay.
I thought after the Toronto game, they smoked Toronto. I'm like, all right, hey, they're going to go smoke the Wizards and really get on a roll here. Nope, loss to the Wizards. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, they got a gritty win against the Magic. They're back on track. They got the Mavs. The Mavs are on the road. This is a great spot for the Kings. I love this for them. I think they're rolling tonight, get blown out by 36. Like, I don't know anymore.
Yeah. How much different would the Kings look right now if that Washington loss didn't happen?
Significantly.
Yeah.
Significantly.
I've got someone on Twitter, Kyle, who says, 1,000 likes or $1.5 billion to purchase the Timberwolves, and I'll drop the Kyle A. Madsen College Talent Show freestyle rap vid. This is Leo S.
I don't love that. Because he has it. Like, he literally does.
I'm just saying.
I don't love
it's here.
This.
It's here on Twitter. I have to live read.
Wait.
Hang on.
Rap vid.
Jesse Tapia here for the handoff.
I'm in here.
What's up, dog?
College Town rap vid, you said?
He said a college talent show freestyle rap vid of Kyle. Wow.
So wait, how do we get this out into the public?
If Kyle gets 1,000 likes, if this gets 1,000 likes, or someone gives him $1.5 billion to buy the Timberwolves.
Okay, well, we got like 300 on YouTube right now. There's 300 likes right there.
Oh, no. Kyle's getting nervous.
I don't like any of this, bro. The worst part is the Chatty House is creative enough and resourceful enough that they can probably just go find it.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, the Chatty House probably will be sponsored. Like, they'll
be
making money and stuff like that.
I'm cooked.
Chatty House is resourceful.
I've got no chance. Oh, I hate this.
Wow.
Oh, man.
All right, Kyle.
What's up, Jesse?
What's up, guys?
Hey, I'm really sorry about talking about the Celtics yesterday the way I did.
No, like, seriously, when you guys were talking about it, I'm just kind of sitting there watching. It's like, yeah, like, none of this kind of matters at all. Like, even the 30-point losses or the 30-point wins, it's kind of like, get to June and we'll see what happens. Either I'm going to be really happy or I'm going to be crying. We'll see.
They have to do it this year.
Yeah, no, it's literally.
It's a must. It's a must.
They're the 49ers, like you said.
Yeah.
Easily the 49ers. Like,
yeah, they went and got Porzingis. They get Drew Holiday. Like, man.
You're there every year, too. It's like, like, it's just at some point, you just have to do it. Like, the Warriors one was bad, but it's just, now it's just, you just have to now. There's no excuses.
The Warriors one, the excuse was, well, it's their first time. The Warriors have been through it a bunch of times.
Like, yeah.
But now you've been there, you've done it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not, Boston is so good, man.
We've been doing a lot of net rating stuff. Like the Kings net rating since it, and Boston's always at the top with a hilariously larger net rating than everybody else.
Statistically, they're one of the best teams, I think, ever.
Of all time.
Statistically, I'm not saying like just the
sure.
Stats looking at it, like they think they have the fourth best point differential ever. They're ahead of the 2017 Warriors, I think.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. 95-7, the game just stole that and put a bunch of dots.
I'm cash then.
Just saying.
Yeah, RIP.
Yeah. Celtics just better saying. Than 2017 Warriors. Throw it up there.
Yeah.
From Jesse Tapia.
I know. This has happened to me.
that was a wild like month or whatever, that Warriors King series.
Yeah, I never want it ever to happen again.
No, that was like,
I had to mute Kenny.
Yeah,
Kenny got muted.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys were talking about the Kings earlier though, like what kind of team they are. I think they're a good team now, but I think the issue is that just everything that's taken place this season is kind of like caught up to them a bit. Because I think like the Washington loss, I don't put that like the Washington loss as something where it's like, oh yeah, something they've done all year. Like that was kind of like a blip or whatever. Because just because they've been playing better, they've kind of found their flow now. It's not kind of like, oh, they can't find their rhythm. Like Kevin Herter's still not playing well. Like Duarte's coming in. Like now they've kind of found, it's like a new, not a new season, but just kind of like it's different now. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I mentioned it with Biederman. They've won two and lost one, won two, lost one, won two, lost one, won two, lost one. That's their last, like, what is that, 15 games?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. It's like there's a clear pattern, and it's just the strangest thing. Like, this team, they really do struggle to embrace success and to just, you know, there is no long winning streak except for the sixth gamer at the beginning of the season. There's none of that stuff. So you're just like, you're at a loss. Like, I don't know what to make of them. And I think it's fair for anyone to have the same question. Mm-hmm. I don't think they know. I don't. They don't know why they walk out on the court and bad things happen. They don't. I know they don't. Like,
well, they kind of
know exactly what the problem is, but we're still just going to do it anyway.
Well, they acknowledge as much after the games. Like, we know. Like, we come out against these lesser teams or whatever. It's just we can't figure it out either.
So the thing that jumps out to me about the Washington game and then the Dallas game was they've been playing well enough lately. And Jesse, I think this is kind of what you're saying. They've been playing well enough lately that nothing happened in those games that made me go, oh man, like they've been figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last couple weeks are an anomaly now. The fact that they've been as good as they've been defensively, like that was a problem all year. It's like, how do you figure offensively? They're fine. They're going to score points. If De'Aaron Fox, they have Domantas Sabonis, Malik Monk, they're good. They're fine on that end. But can you get stops?
Yeah, and I think you look at the Dallas game, they gave it like, what, 132 or whatever. Like, you kind of.
Yeah, but even.
That's the outlier, like, as far as, like, the last 10 or so games. Like, I don't think that's, like, oh, like, they're back or whatever. I think, no, it's just the outlier right
well,
now.
Well, and even that to me was a product of their offense falling apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they gave up so many fast break points and so many easy buckets because they were scrambling on defense because they weren't doing the right things offensively. I saw nothing that happened against Dallas, and that's part of why yesterday was kind of like, yeah, it's lost, but you can still go get him Friday. I'm not.
Just go win Friday.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not.
Well, it's not ending. Season's not over. Like, you just got to pick yourselves up on Friday. And, like, even if they were to lose, like, they make adjustments. It's a closer game. Like, I'm not going to knock the Kings every time they lose and stuff like that. That's just part of basketball or whatever. But now I think what's different for me is just now that it looks good finally.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also looking, like, I don't remember the last time I felt like they really, like, let go of the rope, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
for
the,
sure.
Maybe the loss to Denver where they came up way short against Denver, like,
yeah.
117-96 on February 28th. But again, they had just beat Denver twice, like the 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't feel like that's part of who they are anymore. That sort of, oh, this game's over, and just kind of walk away.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued. I mean, most of, even like their losses, they've been pretty good losses. You know, they've been battles, right? So again, you don't like to lose to Washington, but it's 109-102. That's not a horrible loss. The loss to the Knicks, 98-91, and that's with Jalen Brunson literally turning into like prime Isaiah Thomas.
And that's the game too, where like you kind of, the Kings were like just physical with them too. Like it was like playing New York's tough. They hung around. They didn't get beat up the whole time.
Yeah,
they acquitted themselves well.
The Rockets, 112-104. That's not a bad loss to a team that's coming up. The Bulls, everyone circles the Bulls. Oh, what a horrible loss. 113-109. I mean, it's a 4-point loss. So they haven't really been stomped. They haven't had like that embarrassing loss for a long time. It's been highly competitive and in every game. And I don't know.
Well, because you look at it too, because a few weeks ago, I was talking to D'Lo and KC, and I was like, I don't feel good about this team at all if they get to the play-in. I am terrified. Like, if they get to the play-in, I'm not even sure they're going to get out. Now I feel a lot better.
I do too.
Because they're just playing good basketball now. Like, playing Kings basketball. They're playing, yeah. I don't even know if you call this Kings basketball because they're playing defense now. This is not something you've seen over the last few years. So they're just, they get to the play-in, like, say they don't make top six, fine, but they get to the play-in, like, I like their chances against whoever.
They're playing the Kings basketball Mike Brown has wanted them to play since he got here.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah.
That's more what it looks like. And I'm with you, Jesse. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, they can win a title now.
Yeah,
no. I don't think it's that, but I feel so much better about their chances in a playoff game where the games get tight and the games get shorter, and I feel so much better about their chances to, hey, they need two stops and a bucket down the stretch to close this game out.
Well, a month ago, it was kind of like, well, they can win if just everything works out that night. If it's just that given night, they're good. Now it's just kind of like, yeah, they're playing good basketball the way defense or whatever. They can win because of this, this, and that, rather than, well, hopefully they show up that day.
Or hopefully they hit every three they take.
That's exactly. It. That's it. They have another pitch now.
Yeah.
Where they did not before. Before it was, that three is four, they don't.
Yeah.
And that's just not conducive to winning 4 out of 7 games 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
But now, hey, threes aren't falling, but we're going to make this a 98-102 game.
Yeah.
Kind of wondered,
and I think they can do that now.
I mean, it's all hindsight now, but like, what if they threw in Keon Ellis maybe a couple months ago and stuff, like how much different it would look? But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's all questions for the offseason too and next season.
Yeah. I do kind of wonder that though. Like, they had just Keon from the jump.
Well, it's like Ham said earlier, it's like he's not better than Herter, but he just fits. He connects it all.
He's different.
Yes. Yeah. Like now De'Aaron and those guys don't have to like worry about covering for Herter and stuff like that on defense. Like you said, Sabonis doesn't have to worry about Herter's guy getting to him or whatever. I'm not trying to pick on Herter. It is what it is. It's just now it's just a little bit more connected.
Jesse Tapia, lighten it up. He is the producer for D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. James and I will be hanging out with you tomorrow. And make sure to go hang out with D'Lo and KC tonight at their Sweet 16 watch party at Bar West in Midtown, sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. We've been the Insiders. We were sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll talk to you tomorrow on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Bye.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.